I invite you to stand as you're able for the hearing of this morning's gospel lesson, which comes from Matthew's gospel, reading from the 25th chapter. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you drink, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. O gracious God, we thank you for the gift of this day that you have called us together to worship you. And we thank you for your word and for the opportunity for your word to be proclaimed. And I ask now, O Lord, that you would be in the thoughts of our minds, the meditation of our hearts, but especially, O Lord, that you would be present in the words of my mouth, that they would be acceptable to you and continue to bring glory to your holy name. You, O Lord, who are our rock and our redeemer, our savior and our friend. Amen. This week, as I was looking through a box that I keep that has sermon illustrations in it, which aren't filed in any specific order, it's just a box filled with stories and things that I might want to share someday, I came across a Thanksgiving story that I thought was appropriate for this morning, even though we are celebrating Christ the King Sunday. And the story goes like this. In Budapest, a man goes to the rabbi and complains, "Life is unbearable. There are 9 of us living in one room. What can I do?" The rabbi answers, "Take your goat into the room with you." The man is incredulous, but the rabbi insists, "Do as I say and come back in a week." A week later, the man comes back looking more distraught than before. "I can't stand it," he tells the rabbi. "The goat is filthy, it smells bad, it eats our food, it makes too much noise for me to sleep." The rabbi then tells him, "Go home and let the goat out and come back in a week." A radiant man returns to the rabbi a week later, exclaiming, "Life is beautiful. We enjoy every minute of it now that there's no goat and only the 9 of us." How often in this life do we miss the things that we should be most grateful for because we only focus on the negative? How often do we not see what is right before us because of some challenge or some situation that keeps us from truly seeing what God would have us to see? This morning, scripture that Janice read for us, the epistle lesson, is also the lesson that's often read for the Sunday when we celebrate Christ's ascension, because it reminds us that Jesus lived and died, was resurrected, but when he ascended, he gave power to the church. The body of Christ then became the church here on the earth. And so Paul is reminding the church in Ephesus and reminding us of what our role is as the body of Christ now in this time of the reign of Christ the King. And the reading for this morning is actually a prayer. It's Paul's prayer for the church in Ephesus, but a prayer for us today as well. And it begins with a prayer of thanksgiving. Paul is thankful for the faithfulness of the Ephesians. He thanks God that they have been empowered by God's will and God's plan, and they're willing to follow that. They're willing to live by that. So Paul starts with a word of thanksgiving for the church that has been created and that Christ has left behind. But then it moves quickly from thanksgiving into intercession. Paul prays for that church because that church in Ephesus, just like any church today, is not perfect. It's not perfect, and it hasn't yet finished its task. There is still much for it to do. So Paul, in his prayer of intercession for the church, asked that it might have wisdom, that it might have a sense of revelation, and that it would have hope. It wasn't for the individuals in the congregation that Paul was praying for. He was praying a communal prayer that the congregation together would have those gifts of God and that they would live into the reign of Christ the King. It moves from thanksgiving to intercession to doxology to praise, because Paul is confident that the church, if it really knows the power of God in Jesus Christ, will be triumphant. It will do what it has been formed and created to do. It truly would be the arms and legs of Christ, the body of Christ here on the earth. And Paul is confident that the church can and will do that. So the reading from Ephesians today reminds us that there is still much for us to do. The reign of Christ the King ushers in a new age, ushers in a new time. But it's a time for communal witness, and it's not a time for personal awards. It's a time together to make the witness that Christ is our Lord and our Savior. The gospel lesson this morning comes from towards the end of Matthew's gospel. And Jesus' last sermon of series with his disciples have been five parables to prepare them for when he leaves. Not only to prepare them for when he leaves, but prepare them for how to live until he returns. In this final parable that's only in Matthew's gospel, it's the parable of a shepherd separating the sheep and the goat. It's a story of final judgment, those last days, what will happen when the king finally returns. And in that parable, as you heard, the king separates the people just as a shepherd would separate sheep from goats. The sheep go on the right hand and they are promised eternal salvation. The unfortunate goats go on the left hand. I think I have the wrong hands, but goes on the left hand and they go into eternal damnation. What is the distinction between these two groups? Both groups had the opportunity to see Christ. Both groups had the opportunity to see those who were in need. And both groups had the opportunity to open their eyes and their hearts wide to care for the needs of their neighbors. Both groups say to the king, when? When did we see you? When did we see you, Lord? And when did we do all these things? Or for the goats, when did we not do these things? And Jesus, the shepherd king, replies, it's when you've done that to the least of them, when you've shared with your best self with the least of them. The implication is that the action was not done out of any expectation of reward or punishment. The righteous cared for those in need because they saw the need and they acted. The unrighteous simply failed to do the same. Bob McLaren, in his essay on this scripture from Matthew 25, says this: Jesus' followers are to perceive the other as though he or she were Christ himself. As Fritz Etchenberg portrayed in his woodblock print, The Christ of the Breadline, which is what we have on the screen this morning, the serving of the needy should be approached as serving Christ himself. How can genuine followers of Jesus neglect the prisoner, the hungry, the thirsty, or the naked if they see in these the very image of Christ? Christ-centered living thus transforms disciples' actions. Their sight and their perspectives, and anticipating the Lord's return, bring such a vision for living into sharper focus. He goes on to say, food, water, clothing, hospitality, companionship, these are not only the most necessary elements for communal life, they are the most readily available gifts to give. The lesson of the sheep and the goats is good news because it asks each to share precisely what each has. That is the true center of this passage. Whether it is food or water, a compassionate ear or an open heart, everyone has something to share. Parishioners of all tenures, longtime members and visitors alike, should feel enlivened by the passage, for it calls them to serve in ways firmly within their grasp. It is a reassuring lesson from a story so commonly portrayed as frightening. What he means by that is often when we have scenes of that last judgment, it causes us to be fearful rather than faith-filled. And this parable turns that around, that there's an opportunity to be found among the righteous, and that we don't live in fear of those last days. We don't live in fear of that last judgment, because fear paralyzes us. It doesn't allow us to act. It doesn't allow us to do what it is that we are called to do as the body of Christ here and now. The Shepherd King is looking for a natural overflowing love, not calculated efforts designed to protect a sermon image. And it begs the question, how do we choose to live? Do we choose to live with the eyes of our hearts wide open to see those on the margins? Or do we go through life with blinders on, missing the opportunities to serve those who live on the fringes, those who are in greatest need? I didn't find the sermon illustration I wanted, but I found a different story for Christ the King Sunday to fit Matthew's parable. And this comes from an old edition of Wit and Wisdom. And the story goes like this. It was one of those events that you can never forget witnessing. A skyscraper was going up. Hundreds of people paused daily to glance up at it. One day, they watched as a giant metal beam was raised to be placed high on the enormous steel skeleton of the skyscraper. And then something terrifying occurred. As the girder came near, a workman leaned out from the 16th floor to seize it. The spectators gasped as he lost his balance and fell. Fortunately, he was able to clutch the end of the giant beam that was being raised with both his arms and his legs. The ground crew stopped the hoisting engine so the man could continue to hold on. But the man's weight, situated on one end, began to tilt the beam to a vertical position, which would surely cause him to lose his grasp and fall to his death. Just when all seemed lost, something else occurred that seemed almost miraculous to the onlookers below. Without pause, another worker on the same floor, seeing his friend's predicament, leaped through space and landed on the other end of the girder, where his weight leveled the beam. Amid the applause of the crowd, both men were safely lowered to the street. Did that second man in the story think that he was saving Christ? Probably not. But he did what he knew would save the first man dangling on that girder. He didn't look the other way. He didn't say, "Oh gosh, that's too bad." He didn't turn his back, thinking surely someone else would do something. No, without counting the cost, without calculating the risk, he jumped. He just jumped. The eyes of his heart were in the right place. Jesus, our Shepherd King, knew the needs of God's people. He continues to know the needs of God's people. He knows the physical needs, the emotional needs, the spiritual needs. But Jesus also knew our greatest need, the need to save us from ourselves, to save us from our own sins. And so he gave his best. He gave his all. He gave his life that we too might have life. The question today is, have you seen the King? Have you seen the King? And it all comes down to where the eyes of your hearts are truly focused. May you see the King in your daily walk today. Amen. And let us pray. Oh, Holy God, we come to you today and we come to worship the gift who is your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that he came to live among us, to teach us, to show us the way, to remind us to care for all those in need. We thank you that he truly was a shepherd king that cared for all of the sheep under his care. And we pray, oh Lord, that we might follow that example, that we too would care for all those in need, that we would open the eyes of our hearts wide to see those who are hurting, those who need your care and your comfort, those who need the gifts of physical support, such as food and water and shelter. And we pray that the eyes of our hearts as a congregation would truly be opened to your presence among us with those who are in need. As we gather, O Lord, this day, we ask your presence as well with many of our loved ones. We pray, O Lord, this day for those who mourn. We pray, O Lord, for those who have lost loved ones in recent days, and we ask that you would be with them, that you would be their comfort and their strength, that you would provide your peace, which is beyond anything that we could offer or understand, that you would hold them close in these days, that they would know that you are present in this their time of sorrow. We pray, O Lord, knowing too that you are our great physician, And we pray that your healing embrace would hold our loved ones who need to know that gift. For those who are facing surgery or recuperating, those who are undergoing treatments and therapy, those, O Lord, who are feeling the effects of aging and battling disease and illness, we ask, O Lord, that your healing touch would be with them. We pray as well that you would be with the doctors and the nurses, the technicians and the therapists, all those who share in your healing ministry, that you would strengthen them for the task that you have allotted to them. And we pray especially for the family members and caregivers, that you would strengthen them as well, O Lord, as they care for their loved ones. O Lord, in the season of Thanksgiving, we pray that we truly would have a grateful heart, that we would see around us the many blessings that you have poured into our living, the gift of family and friends, the gift of abundant blessings, the gift of this congregation. And we pray that we would always be a people that offers gratitude to you. And also, O Lord, in this season, as there are those from our midst who will be hunting, we pray your safety and your security as they travel and as they are in the woods and fields tomorrow. Keep them safe in this season too, O Lord. And we ask, O God, that we as a congregation would truly live into that image of being your body, the arms and the legs, the hands and the feet of Christ, that we truly might bring you alive in the world today. We know that you are here with us, but may we represent that love, that compassion, and that wisdom in all that we do. We pray this in your Son's most holy name. Amen.